Parliament should scrap the Climate Change Act and we should stop exaggerating the effects of climate change. Who says so? None other than the former Environment Secretary himself, Owen Paterson. We'll be talking to him later, but let's get another view first. Lord Turner, Adair Turner, former chairman of the Committee on Climate Change. I think we can guess what your view on that is, Lord Turner, but tell us anyway.
Well, I think it's important to stick with the Climate Change Act. I think it provides us with an environment of certainty that we will reduce our emissions to the extent that we need by 2050. But what it has not done, and this is where I disagree with Owen Paterson's speech, is it has not bound us into any one particular technology. At the core of Mr. Paterson's speech is the argument that because we've got the Climate Change Act, we have to have particular technologies and he favours others. But that's simply a non sequitur. What the Climate Change Act says is we must reduce our emissions, and I think we do have to do that in terms of a responsibility for the climate. But the Climate Change Act does not commit us to doing wind rather than nuclear or nuclear rather than biomass. It still leaves us free to choose the particular low-cost route to achieve those emission reductions.
And what he says, that we say low-cost, what he says is our current policy will cost £1,300 billion, which is a staggering amount of money. That's up to 2050, of course. And it fails to meet the very emission targets that it is designed to meet. So it's a total failure.
It's not going to fail to meet the emission targets that it's designed
to meet.
You can't
know
that. The overall programme
to
reduce the emissions by 2050, I think, is a coherent programme. It involves several steps.
Coherent ambition.
And at the core of that is decarbonising electricity. There is really no way for the world to achieve radical reductions in carbon emissions without fundamentally decarbonising electricity and applying electricity to a wider set of activities throughout the economy, which, by the way, will have all sorts of beneficial side effects, for instance, on local pollution when we get rid of a dirty fossil fuel vehicles. So there are a lot of other benefits as well as reducing emissions in the strategy which we are currently set on.
And disbenefits as well. I mean, we're putting a lot of store by wind farms, for instance, and here's what he says about that. Our paltry supply of onshore wind, nowhere near enough to hit the 2050 target. You'd say, well, obviously, there are other things as well as that. Has devastated landscapes, blighted views, divided communities, killed eagles, carpeted the countryside, and the very wilderness that the green blob claims to love. So there are real disbenefits. It's
Look,
not all
people
wind.
Disagree. People have different points of view about the aesthetic impact of windmills. There is clearly a lot of resistance. There's much less resistance in parts of Germany, parts of Denmark, which have gone very heavily and very successfully down the onshore wind route. But if we don't want to do onshore wind, then we do have to move the wind offshore, and that is more expensive. But the costs of offshore wind are coming down. I think they're very likely to come down.
Subsidized.
They are significantly subsidized, but let's be clear, you can sometimes subsidize things, and you subsidize them for a period of time, and then suddenly the costs come down to an extent that you don't need to subsidize. One of the most dramatic things that has occurred, and one of the most hopeful things about the fight about climate change across the world over the last 4 or 5 years is a dramatic fall in the cost of solar energy, solar photovoltaic energy. But that would never have occurred if countries like Germany had not initially put in large subsidies which got the technology up to scale and drove the technology forward. That is part of a sensible strategy.
But if you're going to put it into the global context, as you must, an awful lot of people will say, why are we going through all this pain spending these vast amounts of money with all the effects that we know about? It doesn't actually matter. It's spitting in the wind. Look what the Chinese are doing. Look what other countries are doing.
Well, look, there are 2 points. First of all, the total economic cost to the UK economy by 2050 will be no more than, say, 2% reduction in our standard of living in 2050, where if we run our economy well, it will be at least twice as better off by then. The overall cost is small. You're absolutely right that we need other countries to act as well. We need other countries to act as well to deal with this problem. But removing our commitment to the Climate Change Act would be entirely negative in that respect. We are beginning to have very sensible debates about the Chinese, about them committing to reducing emissions. I think if we, who have been a leader in the work to reduce emissions and the commitments that we've made, suddenly said, we're going to throw them away, I can't imagine anything which would be worse for the likely trajectory of global climate negotiations.
Adair Turner, many thanks.